Hey everyone, welcome back to Splitting Hairs, a podcast where Kelsey Ann and I share our passion for the growth of the grooming industry and give insights as to why change is not scary, yet a necessity. This week, we will be discussing confidence versus arrogance. I'm Denise.
And I'm Kelsey Ann. Let's split some hairs.
Okay, so I love our little intro. People are going to laugh at us because I'm going
We're
to say,
nature.
that was, I know, we're little geeks. Okay. So, okay. So, what are we talking about, Kelsey?
So confidence versus arrogance in the grooming industry. And this translates into so many things. I was scrolling on Facebook recently, and I've noticed, especially this time of year, there's a lot of matted dogs. There's a lot of people that have come up with summer jobs. So there's new groomers out there. There's owners that don't really take care of their dogs religiously out there. And there's a lot of frustration in the industry. And what I've noticed is there's a lot of judgment, and it's judgment towards new groomers. It's judgment towards owners. And I really wanted to talk about today the confidence versus the arrogance, because we have to run our businesses and our craft with a sense of professionalism, really. And it's unprofessional to, become out of touch and forget the empathy that comes with starting somewhere new. For like we always forget. I've noticed there's like this line of grooming where you're a new groomer and you're excited and you're eager to help people. And then you like start learning things and become a little bit more jaded. And then it turns into like this arrogant, judgmental attitude because you're disappointed in people. And I understand it. So like even I hold empathy for that feeling. I've been there. I've been in that position. And then as you grow, continued education, you start to think to yourself, okay, well, let's bridge this gap. And that's where our little sweet spot is with this podcast. So I wanted to talk about how continued education can help us be more confident versus arrogant and judgmental towards new groomers, even not be judgmental towards jaded groomers in a sense too. But especially remembering that we are professionals and we're only as good as our weakest link. And if we're not going to be professional to the customers, then that's a big problem. So that's where I wanted to talk about today.
Well, and I have this saying that I always try to teach all of my employees because they're younger ladies, and it is never forget where you started,
I love
always be grateful, and always be humble.
Be humble. Yes, being
And
humble is a big deal.
yep, and have that humility because we don't know everything. So it is very hard to watch because I'll see a lot of that stuff on Facebook as well. And we do forget where we came from. I mean, I do it also, right? Even it's human nature. We lose sight. So even when I get newer groomers, I do forget that growth, that funky growth period when we have to realize that the public is not as educated as they used to be because there's so much misinformation out there.
Exactly. It's very frustrating too to take on the tail end of that. It's very frustrating whenever you see it all the time, every day, and you're like, this is how it should be. So, this is how it's done. This is how it should be. How do they not know? Like, even when my phone rings and I get a text message from somebody that I've never heard of before, and they want me to do their once a year matted Great Pyrenees. And I'm like, oh my God, who do you think I am? Oh my gosh, how dare you ask me to groom your dog? I'm a dog groomer. Why wouldn't they be calling me? They're coming to me for a solution. Just because that's not what I specialize in, we need to be readily available to send them to somewhere. We need to have our networks, and be a real good community. Find out who is the person that you send this to. Don't judge the owner for not aligning with your knowledge. Educate the owner. Educate the even newer groomers. Educate the newer groomers. And some people aren't receptive to that, and we know that. But when you come at somebody guns a-blazing with judgment, they're definitely not going to see your level. Like they're going to be at their own level of perception and be defensive. And once somebody is defensive, that conversation is not happening anymore.
It's not. And I always try to teach in my classes how to have open communication for that reason. And it's not just interpersonal relationships as far as coworkers and employees. This is also pertaining to the public. And
Right.
we lose sight of that. We really do. I do. I
I
do.
mean, I do sometimes too, like the doodles. It's whenever we have a lot of people obtaining high maintenance dogs, it is very frustrating to have somebody come in again and you tell them that you want to see them every 6 weeks with this, and then they come every 12 and they expect miracles. You know, actually, we're exhausting ourselves with the what ifs instead of being confident in our educating. There's this arrogance that comes about when you just matter-of-factly just say, this is how it is, or I'm not doing it. And that's the mentality that I see a lot of groomers have. And then they veer on the side of being, rather than being assertive and educational, they dance on this like, oh, they don't understand, so I'm not even going to deal with it. Or they become a little passive aggressive, or they cancel the person's appointment last minute because they don't feel like dealing with it, or they just shave the dog down and then deal with it later. There's no real forefront, there's really no like line where they go, okay, let me help this customer. Let me have all this stuff readily available. In one of my classes, I teach dealing with the delusional client, and I love teaching that class so
I
much. It's
love
one
that
of my
one. That's one of my favorites. Yes.
It was my debut, and I was like, oh my God, I don't want to be a one-hit wonder, but this is so much information in that class. Like, it could have been three classes, to be honest. But one of the things that I really love is my delusional Debbie character in there. And if any of our listeners have been to my class, they always love the Price Haglund Harry. So whenever you got a delusional Debbie, they just need information. And you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink, is one of the things that I always teach. But if you don't have the information, the frequently asked questions readily available, and you don't have the confidence and the knowledge, then and even just giving the knowledge to somebody that takes a really nice line of etiquette with it all too, you have to be able to deliver it. So if you're always getting all these doodles, have frequently asked questions ready on your website, have flyers, have pamphlets, have videos of you dematting or why you want things. Tell them the why. I mean, that's what our podcast is about, the why this matters.
Well, and you
And
know, oh, sorry, go ahead.
go ahead. No, you're good.
But I want to, before I forget, this train of thought, because you and I are a lot alike. I noticed a shift. We were talking about going from, you had talked about going from almost like people pleasing to being aggressive, right? So I think before 2020, we were very passive people pleasers. We thought we had to get everybody in, we had to do and bend over backwards. And then 2020 hit. And when we got shut down, I noticed, because I did the same too, actually, we became very aggressive, passive aggressive in our demeanor, because all of a sudden people needed us and we were seen and we got slammed. We were booked so far out we could be picky, right? And what ended up happening was, in our turn of being picky, we went completely pendulum swung to the other side. And now we're telling and treating people like they are beneath us because they don't have that education and that misinformation. So all of a sudden you can say, I'm not doing your once a year dog. And I, you know, how dare you? Or we're just going to block them and never return phone calls or acknowledge them again. So
But
I
they're
noticed
just
this
gonna.
pendulum, this pendulum swing, and we went extreme opposite. From being people pleasing passive to aggressive and lack of empathy.
And that's not really what assertive is. That's passive aggressive. So then the other thing is, they're not going to learn from that. Customers are not going to learn from you ignoring them. They're going to immediately judge you. When you were judging them, they're going to meet your energy. And the other thing is, they're just going to find somebody else that is that everybody's on here going, oh, this person just opened up and they are starting sheep. I'm so worried about the dog's safety. Well, who's going to groom those dogs if you don't take the time to educate them on what they need to be better? If you're not going to lead them to water and you're going to be arrogant, you can't also judge them for where they go to get their problem solved, because we are in customer service and we're problem solvers here. So we can't lose touch of that. One of the things that I always find in regular everyday world, because grooming is my life, and I'm sure it is too, Denise. Like, honestly, I can always turn anything into grooming. I could be at a funeral, and be like, you know what? You know, grooming's like this. But whenever I go into other realms, other professions, or I'm a customer of something, I start to realize, you know, how much I was kind of veering towards being out of touch and overwhelmed in my business.
Yes.
And, you know, Denise, you just got back from the boarding and grooming expo in Vegas.
Yes. It was a boarding daycare expo. It was a Barclay one.
And that's very similar to our field in a sorts that we're all working with customers with animals, and sometimes the unspoken and the miscommunications are all there. But we can learn a lot from stuff like that. What did you learn there?
Oh, I loved every minute of it. I was very nervous to start because obviously I'm not boarding daycare. And I was going in to speak boundaries, which boundaries can go, I mean, that's across business, personal. It doesn't matter what field you're in.
Right.
We need boundaries. There's way to get these boundaries. And some of the things that you had already mentioned. So it was a 2-hour seminar, but I wanted to make it geared towards, I'm all about making sure I'm giving the audience what they want and what's geared towards them. So I did a little digging into daycare and boarding, which was really cool to start with. So let me start with getting into preparing for this. And I had learned their terminology is different, but their problems are just the same.
Right.
They
So
have
how is
different
terminology different?
It is more professional. It is. It really is. And it was so cool to see a lot of their speakers have corporate background or they've built multi-businesses. Their demographic tends to be people who were in the corporate world who wanted to get out and they love dogs. So they went into the boarding facility and they would have, because let's face it, boarding, you have to have employees. It has to have like a corporate feel to it, but they still lack boundaries. I found out. A lot of boundaries.
It's very easy.
That
it's
is very,
very,
very
easy to lose boundaries
yes.
when you're working with animals too.
Exactly. So their terminology, the other part to all of this is that they may not be, it's not a regulated industry, but they most definitely have standards due to zoning and they are sort of, I don't want to say governed because that's the wrong term, but they are overseen by the Department of Agriculture in, I want to say, most states or areas.
Most states or bigger cities will have a department where they won't even let you open a business if you're not zoned and following all the laws for agriculture, for kenneling dogs, for really just for a kennel.
So they at least have those standards that they all have to live by, but they can still make their business their own and have their own rules and the way that they want to do their daily routines and stuff and their niches. So like there was such a mirror, you know, I went to a keynote speaker and she's like, do you specialize in anything? Do you specialize in doodles? I'm like, oh, that's really cool. That goes across the board. And I loved every minute of it because I just learned so much and they were very open and I did really well in my seminar. I got really good feedback for it and that was wonderful. But there most definitely was this difference of, I would say demographic, this difference of nuance between pet boarding daycare people and groomers. And as soon as they found out I was a groomer, it was gloves off. They're like, oh my gosh. And they came at me from all ends.
Because you teach the business and employee side of
everything.
So they're like, how do we manage these
groomers?
People?
Yeah. It really, that's what it was. It was.
Some of us are unmanageable.
They struggle. Oh, wow. They don't have that hands-on experience. They can't teach hands-on, right? So they're at the mercy of groomers who have already grooming experience. But we know in our world that grooming experience can vastly different, be so different amongst every single individual on who they learned from, where they learned from, Are they self-taught? Did they learn in a corporate that didn't care? Did they go to a school? What is there? We know that I can
What's their
tell you.
background? What's the
Right.
foundation of education? Because we don't have
Correct.
that. We don't
We
have that.
nope. They just know that these people possess skills and then they stick these people all together and they don't. And what are they finding? Each person has their own way of doing something because we don't have those standards set. So they have these four people who are now, it's going to start harnessing a toxic environment because each one of them has their own views, their own past of their knowledge. And because we don't actually have a standard, there's no common ground. And what is a boarding daycare facility business owner to do when they don't have anything to utilize to even help their employees become unified?
Well, I mean, if you think about it, like a car has, the four wheels. If every wheel represented a different groomer in their four groomer salon, and they're all going in different directions, that car's going nowhere. And they're going to spin out, and then they're going to be lack groomer and have to start over again. And it's hard because we have such a mentally phys like mental, physical, emotional job. And it does not work well with arrogance in a scenario when your boss doesn't know what it is that you're doing. You don't know
Correct.
what they're doing also. And I feel like there's a lack of a reminder because we so much we that pendulum, coming back to your pendulum analogy, it's like you demand respect on one side, but it's aggressive. Or you just do what you have to do and you lay down and take it. And then you're in the middle going, where is this common ground? It leads with confidence in having one lead groomer decide the safety boundaries in that business, decide the artistic ability is completely different. But like there's so many facets with grooming that if everybody is on 15 different pages, they're not going to be able to manage it. And that's a common problem amongst other people that come in with the money in the business sense. They can't manage us because we're either
Oh,
too dang arrogant or undereducated.
these people, as soon as they heard groomer, they're like, whoosh. And they're like, and that's, they're like, help us. And honestly, I actually, of course, here's me because this is what I do. I'm like, I want to find something to bridge this gap because they could be very lucrative businesses to work for. Boarding daycare people, if you're in the right facility that's growing, they have that business mindset that you will be taken care of.
Yeah, they will.
They can offer a higher percentage because it's not just so the money could potentially be better because they can offer something that's a little bit more because that's not their sole income. And right. And they could, and a person, a groomer who knows what they're doing could really just have almost free rein within a very healthy business if only we had some form to be able to allow non-groomers to be able to handle us, because that was their biggest problem was they're like, I have these four people, they don't agree on anything, and they're doing all these things and they don't know how to actually get them in line because they don't have terminology or background in what we do.
And we could all be actually on the same page and not even realize it. Because there's no terminology standard, and it really just depends on where you started and how much education you have, and it's all up to us to find out what how much we want to learn and how we want to do things. I mean, I came from a corporate background where we had safety exams constantly, but then we had a manager that didn't really care about the safety. So it's like you have to have the standard of safety and handling and balancing everything. And one of the best jobs I ever had financially was a boarding and daycare facility. I mean, I made the most money I ever made in my whole career with less work hours. It was very stressful because they did let dogs like run around in the
Yeah.
salon, because there was daycare, and it was very stressful because if the dog was staying for boarding and daycare, they were making sure the dog had used the bathroom, it had run time, and that is really detrimental to a grooming salon. So there were
Right.
quirks, but
Yes.
financially, if I could just get my head out of my butt and not be so dang, my work defines who I am. Don't you know who I am? Like, I'm not very good at accents, but such a nerd. But like, whenever we have that arrogance, yes, we can be proud, but remembering they're trying to do their job too. And we all just immediately come into this with like a, I feel like it's like an empty tank of emotions because we give it all to the dog. We're like, let's work on this dog. Okay, let's do this. But if you had basic handling knowledge and wasn't just flying by the seat of your pants with it, I just did a refresher on AKC Canine College, of a safe handling course Chris Berry taught. And it was, I mean, I know this
Oh, I
stuff. It
loved
was
it. I
so
loved it.
good. That is
Yes.
such a good standard to remind me. Even me, I've been grooming for 20 something years, or 20, however many years. And I sat there the other day and I was like, this dog is a little hyper. So I chose to, in the course, I won't give it all away, but she's like, lower the dog to where you're heart to heart and calm it down. Cause you think about the attitude of the dog kind of being like a bouncing ball, kind of going from like fight or flight, and all of that. I was like, oh my gosh. And it was so delightful dealing with some of these quote unquote difficult dogs this week with that reminder that I'm not just performing an artistry. I am talking to, or like, I am working with a living being, and like the behavioral standard could easily be, reminding yourself in that moment just by having some type of continued education to remind yourself,
We need reminders all the time. We lose sight of so many things. We're not above and beyond having to do another like safe class or a first aid class or any of the things, even if it's doing a hands-on face class, right? Even if you've been grooming forever and your clients love the faces, you're going to learn something new. And I'm going to put in our show notes the link to I completely and thank you. Because I completely forgot about the safe handling. Chris Berry is, oh, she is my
She's
mentor. Like,
amazing.
oh, I love that woman. She is actually, and she knows this. So if she ever listens to this, which I don't know what she does, but like she already knows all this that I've told her this before. She is one of the reasons why I aspired to have three locations. I thought I was the crazy one going into a lot of things because you see it all the time. Don't have employees, don't grow. They're horrible. And I know, Kelsey, you've had your fair share and you've learned where your niche is. But when I was starting, and the first time I went to one of her seminars, it was the first time we had professional business seminars offered. Not saying that these speakers, like I did Joey Villani, Joey Villani is wonderful, but the
We
way
have some
that
amazing speakers,
we do,
but
but the
good
way
to get
that
another idea.
The way that Chris went about it really spoke to me. And I will never forget, like, when she first opened up in her introduction and she said, I own five locations across two states and I have complementing mobile units for each one. I said, oh my goodness. Like, I had this whole realization that I'm actually not crazy. So it was really cool. I love Chris Berry and I have done the safe handling class. But I haven't revisited. I completely forgot that didn't exist and or that it existed. And I would love for my girls to do it because they need that refresher no matter how many times. We have stressful jobs. It doesn't, we have stressful jobs and we need to remember and keep in mind the handling. So no, I am going to put a link into that in our show notes. So
I love that.
anyone who's listening, go to the show notes and you can go ahead and find that link.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And one of the things I think that with that reminder, it will bring me out of my attitude of arrogance, like, oh, this dog, I hate that this owner didn't train this dog. They need to come more often. Well, I bet the only time this dog ever gets brushed is with me. Well, no kidding. I'm offering this customer a service for routine grooming services. Why am I using my emotions for my arrogance and self-serving my ego? and frustrating myself, and in turn giving that energy right back to the dog. And then to the customer, either I'm going to lie to them and say, oh, he did great because the bar is low, or I can have that conversation with them like, we need to train, like, or I can remember and have the confidence and the education to come back and have that nice reminder that maybe I need to adjust myself, because mm-hmm. we're not always perfect, even if we are really wonderful. One of the things I really pride myself in is being kind to animals. But when we're stressed out, that pendulum swings both ways, you yep. know, and we just need those reminders. And with some type of regulation in our industry, I feel like with continued education being a mandate would be just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Something like that. And I also want to add in there, because I fell into the trap. Obviously we fall into the trap of, oh my gosh, I can't believe they only come here once a year, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But I started falling into the trap of the emotional side when people are canceling or I'm getting frustrated. And here's my story for this. And this really, you want to talk about putting me in my place and knocking me on my ass? I had this woman for the last two times. She has three dogs. She has replied yes to the text 3 days before, and then the day before cancels, and I'm getting frustrated. And then my ego takes me down this downward spiral mm-hmm. of, oh, she's going to someone else, and who's the competition around there? And I'm looking at, you know, who took my dog, and blah, 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 blah. Like this whole, you know, we all know this self-talk, right? This right. downward spiral. We sent out a text message. We always reply, oh, thank you, we've canceled your appointment because it was through text. Would you like to rebook? And she's like, yes, they are all really hairy. My husband's been in ICU for over 3 weeks and they are so far behind, and I just haven't been able to get them there. Talk about feeling like an asshole, right? Like right. that showed me how bad I've been letting my ego get in the way. And it's probably been for quite a few months. So this poor woman, and I made her day by fitting her in 2 days, like within the following week, I was able to find spots. And I'm like, the least we could do for you is take care of your dogs for you while you're going through this hard time. And guess what? I just earned, because of empathy, I just earned a client that will now be loyal.
Exactly. And here's the other thing about that, to piggyback on that. That's a big frustration, especially in summer season. Everybody's going through vacations. You know, they're trying to get some things done if their kids are out of school, like, or they just don't have the finances. We don't know the reason. And it's needless suffering to worry about what somebody else is doing to you. It's not mm-hmm. to you. Nope. You are offering a customer a service. You are offering them a solution. And whenever you have good business boundaries and policies, you can always assess the situation to provide them with a solution. I mean, there's a couple of elderly clients that I would get to the point where I was like, I'm not doing old people anymore. That sounds so bad. But when yes. I was in like a low place, I've lost customers due to my ego.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not okay. You start to realize it whenever you're like, oh my gosh, why do I have a slow period?
Yep.
Oh my God. I'm the asshole. Oh uh-huh. no. So like, but it's because you're in that low vibe atmosphere where you don't have the confidence, and you're scared to, in this economy, man, it does some crazy things to you as a business mm-hmm. owner. So you just have to remind yourself like, okay, let's take ourselves out of this position for a second. What's our business boundaries? But also, where is that empathy instead of the arrogance? This isn't about me. They are choosing my salon to get their dog groomed to solve a problem for themselves. We are not the be all end all of grooming. We are not the groom Nazi, like the soup Nazi in Seinfeld.
Yes.
No groom for you. No groom for you. And I mean, that's great if you got the financial means to back it up and you want to be that way, but just know that it's really upsetting to the consumer to have a problem and feel lost with no solutions. And what a greater place like your business can be with all of the knowledge and education that you and I like have, or all of the groomers that are listening to us, all of the knowledge and education that they have is going to be lost to somebody with maybe, I don't want to judge other groomers, but you know, maybe they'll go find the person that'll let them walk all over them that doesn't even know how to hold the clippers correctly. Because it was the easiest solution. So, you know, if you think about that in the aspect of it all too, that arrogance and that ego can send a dog to something that you didn't want in the first place. And if you can just talk to them and come up with some creative solutions that don't mutilate your business boundaries, but
right.
also provide something with the empathy and confidence that is required from a professional.
And you and I have had this conversation too. Arrogance and attitude and ego, eventually, even if you have the money now and you have the business now,
you'll be punched in the teeth later.
It will, because clients move on, pets pass away, and at some point you will need new business, whether you're going to need new clients. And if over those few years when you didn't need new clients, and you got this reputation of being hard to deal with or judgy, or people don't feel comfortable or confident, you are not the first place that people are going to think of.
They're going
to
go
gonna
to
have
somewhere
to,
else.
Yep. And you're going to have to rebuild that whole rapport all over again. So you can either choose to keep even with the boundaries and stay even keeled throughout all those years, even if you don't need the business now, or you're going to work twice as hard later on down the road, having to rebuild your business.
I bottlenecked my business there for a little bit when I went to brick and mortar. I was hiring fast and firing slow, and
it's a common problem. It's a
the
common
other way
problem.
Around.
Yep.
And it wasn't their problem. I didn't know what I was doing. And so I kept on taking the role of between drill sergeant and pushover as a boss. So like, you know, from those lessons, and nobody was in the wrong completely on both parties. We both shared our own wrongdoings. But the whole culture of my salon, I never want to, I would have absolutely so much embarrassment if I was in the room with a bunch of people that I was egotistical or arrogant towards, and they didn't love what I do. You know, like, I want to offer those customer-based solutions, and just remembering that that's what our job is.
Yep.
It's artistry. Yes, you can be the best groomer in the area, but if you are a jerk to work with, you're not going to have staff. You're not going to have networking opportunities with fellow groomers to help build your business. People are going to look at you like you're just a judgmental jerk, and nobody really wants that, I don't think.
No.
I would hope not, but
right?
You know, and it's just like, you always treat the janitor with as much respect as you do the CEO. So you treat your worst client with the same respect as you do your best client. And that's how I'd like to try to stay out of touch with everything. And even whenever I meet new groomers, I love going to the trade shows. It gives me a new, especially teaching. Whenever I meet new groomers and they're like so wide-eyed about it all, and they have all these questions and they want to know this knowledge, and they're a sponge. And I'm like, I'm so glad you came to me. Oh my God. And then I get to see what it was like for me kind of navigating through this lack and being terrified to charge my worth. What was my worth even? Was I worth it? It's like, it's not even about the emotions of it all. The business, we'll have to do a whole podcast on business too. So I'll get to it down that whole bit. But I love watching the ones that are so passionate and eager build a little bit of confidence without going towards the arrogant side of things. It's one of my favorite things about meeting people that aren't, you know, a veteran in grooming. There's so many people that just have that arrogance with it. And I just feel like it's unnecessary.
Well, and I struggle within my business because of that. And when I'm hiring, I struggle with hiring people who have anything over 4 years of grooming experience.
I had the same problem. It was like, if they're experienced, they're unmanageable. And if they're unexperienced, they're too risky. That was where I was at with it.
And it's just that it's that arrogance that what they know is better, and not being open-minded. And I would also like to state, Kelsey and I are very open-minded about ourselves. We're very self-aware that we also let me turn the tables. If we have somebody within our presence who has been doing this longer, and they come to us and they say, hey, listen, I don't agree with this, and this is why, we are very supportive in the fact that we will hold open conversations and open adult communication to actually assess, are they right? And are we wrong? Because there's that as well, too. So as much as you have to have, it's a two-way street.
It's a two-way street. And you have to, and here comes down to the problem. We're very aware that there's a problem in arrogance and ego. And I really fully believe that some type of standard and handling to kind of come back on, we can come back to a factual basis that leaves no argument. And I feel like groomers in general all know what it means to be a safe groomer when you've been doing this long enough. But sometimes we need that reminder, even recording yourself grooming, looking in the mirror, taking a step back and realizing, watching yourself, watching somebody else, anything like that, being very aware. You could realize, oh, well, I say that I'm doing it safely, but oh my gosh, bring yourself back down to earth. And the only way to do that is to take the time with continued education and to go back to the factual standard of safe handling and dog, like dog handling in general, the safety of each grooming and what it requires with each tool, with each bath. What is the standard here? And we don't really have that.
We don't. And there should be no reason at this point because, you know, getting to a Barkley show or any of the grooming shows used to be really hard. And I have to say, thanks, COVID, you made online learning really
attainable.
Right. I love it because there is so many good options out there so that you can do in the, you know, privacy of your own home. You don't have to listen. Groomers by nature, we got problems. And most of them are introverted and have social anxiety. That's why we want to work with dogs. Guess what? No excuses when it's online. Though I'm always big on you should go to a trade show and really get around like-minded people.
At least once.
At least once. Yes.
At least once a year, either go to your local community of groomers and have a little like meet and greet and talk with them about it. Go, if you have any vendors in your area, go make a road trip out of it to go pick up some shampoo. There are places all over the United States that have, and I know that there's some people that just don't have the time or resources or finances to do so, but network with local professionals and, you know, kind of get on the same page and just feed each other the positive stuff. A lot of times I'll see groomers that kind of get together. It's like, oh, we had this doodle and it was mad. Don't complain about every little thing. Let's come up with solution-based venting.
Exactly. Yes. Well, and, you know, be the change you want to see. So we've been doing, my friend Kendra and I, we did a groomer meetup in September. We're going to do another one. And we didn't have a huge turnout, which whatever, that it is what it is. Who knows why? But I do know that I personally went to surrounding competition and I had invited them. And now did they show? No. But you know what? I know that this time I'm going to go invite them again. And hopefully I can get them out of their shells and not so guarded and jaded to start networking and know that we can all exist on the same playing field.
Right. At least just talk about what each other's strengths are. Everybody can't have the same strength in a town. I mean, if they do, then we kind of find out what's your specialty. What do you specialize in? You know? And we have a Middle Tennessee Pet Groomers group and we had the Middle Tennessee Pet Groomer Alliance idea. We're like, we're just going to get us all together and figure out where this goes. We're gonna have a couple meet and greets first before we go too far with it. But the conversation was just so good. Everybody felt the same about a standard and it was like, wow. And so many people wanted to grow and learn, how do I compete? How do I do this? How do I do that? What's your favorite clippers? And all those conversations we had, I feel like everybody that left there left with a sense of just like community and confidence and not a bit of, I feel like everybody that left there had no arrogance to them about it. And that was just so lovely to be around. But we did invite groomers that didn't come, and not that they're arrogant and all that. No. Not that they're the ex-nay. But whenever we build as a community, I mean, it's almost contagious whenever you guys, like whenever all of us groomers are getting together and it's a positive atmosphere for the betterment of our industry. And I feel like I have like nailed my topic in today. What do you think, Denise?
I think so. I think we, you know, going through and just knowing that there are options and that we have to find that happy medium. And honestly, some sort of standard that everyone can call who that can fall back on. We can all fall back on the same exact thing.
Actual baseline.
Yes, just a baseline. This is no one ever like I don't ever want to be told how to do my job, but we do need to have foundations that everyone has the same standard. And if we get those, everyone across the board, whether you're seasoned or a newbie, you're going to have that same foundational, and what you do with your career is completely up to you.
Perfect. I love it. Love it so much. So we'll be in, when are we debuting this? Are we debuting this today or are we going to put it out?
Probably this week. It'll be Tuesday or Wednesday. So today is the 27th.
We'll listen to this. And then if you're in the Kansas City, Missouri area,
yes,
we will both be teaching at this new Barkley show, Heart of America Grooming Show in Kansas City, Missouri. It is this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There is no competition, but there is continued education and several vendors. So if you're in that area, come on down.
Come see us. Come say hi.
Yeah, come hang out with us and give us some podcast ideas. We want to talk about this for our everyday pet groomers to bridge this gap in past, present, and future. And I'm really happy that you spent this time with me today, Denise.
Yes, I love when we get together. Yes, and thank you, everyone. And until next time, we are splitting hairs.
Bye.